Hey guys, welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I am beyond excited because today on our podcast, we have the amazing Fit Bottom Girls. So if you don't know who the Fit Bottom Girls are, they began as a single blog with a tongue-in-cheek play on Queen's song, which is now an online body positivity phenomenon, reaching millions of women and men each month through its website, podcasts, social media presence, and special events. Fit Bottom Girls is powered by Jennifer Walters and Kristen Seymour, who create, co-host, edit, and dream of a more fit bottom world where fit bottoms come in all shapes, sizes, and backgrounds. With extensive experience in both fitness and journalism, these well-known influencers can regularly be found standing on soapboxes to promote body positivity, coaching clients to discover their full potential, and telling it like it is when it comes to being healthy. We are so, so excited. So welcome, Jennifer and Kristen.
Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn, and on today's podcast, I am beyond excited because I have the pleasure of interviewing the lovely ladies from Fit Bottom Girls, Jennifer and Kristen. Hi, ladies.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
No, it's honestly my honor, my pleasure. I love what you guys are doing out in the world, and I'm so excited to be able to share your information, your content, your stories with our listeners. So I just want to jump in because, like, we're going to talk about a lot of different things today. We're going to talk about fitness. We're going to talk about nutrition stuff. We're going to talk about sort of your own personal regimes and things like that. So let's jump in. But first, what I really want to know is, what does being a Fit Bottom Girl mean to you? So why don't you both answer it? I'll start with Jennifer. I'm curious to know, because I know, like, the background of where the name came from, but I'd love to know sort of what that definition is for you.
Yeah. So obviously it's a play on a Queen song. It's Fat Bottom Girls, Fit Bottom Girls. But we always say that, you know, fit bottoms come in all shapes and sizes. So we don't want people to get the wrong idea. Like, your bottom has to, like, look a certain way in order for you to have value, which is kind of like the complete opposite of what a fit bottom girl is. So my take of what a fit bottom girl is, and I'm sure that, you know, Kristen is going to jump in here with some awesome insights because she always does. But it is, you know, someone who is just like, you know what? I know that dieting doesn't work. Hating myself doesn't work to be healthy either. So I am just going to live my life with a lot of curiosity, a lot of fun, and just make my whole entire point of health not be about weight loss, but really just about feeling good and finding what works for you. So it's kind of about that unconditional self-love. It's about a lot of that self-care. It's about not hating yourself healthy. It's about eating foods that you love, doing workouts that you love, and really just finding the healthy jam that works for you, because we're all different people. We go through different phases of our life. We all have different needs, and it's all just about, yeah, going on kind of that healthy adventure, and then maybe even hopefully discovering along the way some really cool things that you didn't think you can do, but you realize you can, because when you kind of push yourself in workouts and different stuff, it's a really good kind of gateway to seeing your full possibilities.
I love that. I love that. That's totally true. And Kristen, I mean, I'm sure it's very similar to you both because you created this brand, but I'm curious to know your insight as well.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite things that Jen touched on is the fact that we really encourage everyone, men and women alike, to approach themselves and healthy living in general with curiosity rather than being judgmental, because it's really easy to be judgy. It's really easy to fall into the comparison trap of, you know, looking at how you look in a size whatever dress versus somebody you see on Instagram or versus your friend. Yes. But that's not healthy for anybody. And it's not realistic either, because, you know, we are each our own person. We are, you know, everybody's body truly is different. So the other part of that is that we work really hard on figuring out how to truly listen to and honor what our bodies are telling us. Because when our body is saying, "Hey, I'm hungry," that's not something to be ashamed of. Like, you're hungry, you should eat food, because food is how we fuel our bodies to move and live and continue doing the things that are important to us in a thousand different ways. You know, if your body is saying, like, I crave movement, or, you know what, I'm not digging running, that doesn't feel good right now. Okay, that's fine. Not everybody has to run a marathon. Right. You know, really tune in, listen to it, figure out what, you know, it's one thing to for your body to be saying, oh, this feels hard, versus, no, this doesn't feel okay. And that's a big part of this whole fitness and health and wellness journey, is really figuring out what those messages from your body are telling you, when you should listen, when you should say, you know what, yes, body, you are correct. And when you should say, you know what, maybe we can push this just a little bit more and see if we can break through that period of discomfort. Because you don't, you also don't want to stay in your, you know, nice little comfort zone. You want to bust out of it in a way that feels good. Is really the thing.
For sure. No, and that's such a great point. And I think that, you know, even to add to that too, like, I mean, one of the things that we always say to our members is, you know, find the thing not only that feels right for you, but that you actually like, right?
Because
if you like it, you're going to connect to it. And when you connect to it, you'll stay with it for the long haul. If you're doing the running thing and it's like, it's hard and it sucks and you don't like it, and every single time you do it, you dread it, the chances of you actually continuing with that as like part of your lifestyle are minimal. And even if you do, that's going to be this one part of your life that you just like completely despise. And it's like, what's the point? You want to be able to do something that you like, even if it's hard, at least you have some sort of enjoyment in it, or some sort of like, it creates some sort of like way of serving you, right? Rather than just the physical need of just serving you, it's also serving you in other areas too, I think.
Life is too short to just do stuff that you hate. Yeah. I mean, honestly, you know.
No, of course. And I mean, I believe that in all aspects of life, like whether it's your relationship, your work, your like your fitness regime, whatever it is, or the food you're eating and stuff like that. That's why I you know, I always laugh when I think about like food, and I think about like the whole idea of people eating, like, instead of eating rice, eating cauliflower rice. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's like, if you really want the rice, just eat rice. Like, it's okay. Like, it's not
bad. Right.
But so when it comes to fitness though, what is your go-to workout and why? And Jen, I'll ask you that question.
Oh my gosh. So I have a toddler and it's just funny. Like when I look back at like where my workouts have been and like where they are now, and I used to kind of be like, okay, I would typically like do some high intensity stuff, maybe go for a run, maybe do some yoga. And I still do all of those things now, but it's just, it's all much more intuitive because my needs for what my energy level needs to be and how my energy is spent during the day is very different than what it used to be.
Yeah.
So where like before I had kids, I, you know, would be super happy to go do a very kind of like really hard CrossFit-esque workout, right? Mm-hmm. And really push myself and maybe need to recover for like 2 or 3 days, like a lot of soreness. Now, like a lot of soreness does not play well into my life. Like my daughter is like jumping on me and it's just, I mean, it's painful and I have to like run after her and play with her and be there for her. And I can't just like, you know, sit on the couch and foam roll and drink protein shakes. Like I can't do that. So I feel like my whole entire fitness and my whole workout routine, it changes and it just continues to evolve, where it used to be not rigid, but definitely more structured. Now it's literally like, okay, you know, my husband's working late, so maybe I'm just going to take her in the stroller and we're going to go for a run. And that's what I'm going to do today. Even though that's not maybe what I had planned, or, you know, someone's sick. So things are going to ebb and flow. So it's been very, very different. And a lot of my goals have changed. I'm not as performance driven as I kind of used to be, where I wanted to kind of get that PR for a weight, or I wanted to do something faster, or I wanted to master a new move. Now it's just like, okay, you know, that used to make me like super happy. And now it's just about that consistency. So I still do a lot of like really high intensity stuff. I like that mix of cardio and weight training at the same time. Mm-hmm. I love that. It like weight training on its own for me, just like lifting weights is boring. But if I can do it in a group with some cardio and like burpees and stuff, like I'm into it. I'm such a weirdo that I like burpees, but you know, That's cool. We all have our thing that we learn to love, you know? And then in addition to that, I try to do a little bit of stretching and yoga at home when I can. But that's more like 5, 10, 15 minutes at a time versus like an hour long class somewhere, or even like a streaming workout or something. And then I try to go for some runs here and there. And then I'm also a member at an Orange Theory Fitness. And I do that a couple times a week. And I really enjoy it.
Cool. So you're busy. You've got a lot, even with a toddler. That's a lot. Yeah. Like I found for me when I had my daughter, now I have a toddler as well. And like, I found trying to get out to go anywhere, like going to a yoga studio or going to a class or anything is like the biggest challenge. Like I'm like, oh yep. My gosh, that's like a 2-hour window of like travel time, workout, everything else. I'm like, just don't have it. Can't fit it in right now. And I'm sure I could if I really tried to schedule it in, but I just find it so hard. So I found that for me, it's really been like at home stuff and going for like walks or runs and stuff has been like my go-to, but HIIT for sure. But I agree with you too. You have to be able to move your arms. Like I have to be able to lift her up. She wants me to carry her everywhere.
Yes.
I can't lift so heavy that I can't lift her.
Right. Like I still like, you don't understand. I'm going to go home and do like, you know, a 45 minute isometric hold with my, you know, 35 pound toddler. Like, there is no recovery here, guys.
Exactly. And so now Kristen, for you, just, you know, for your workouts, have you found that you've also had, have they shifted in terms of over the years, have you had a big shift as well? And were you ever stuck in a fitness rut or like in a place where you didn't really know how to break free from that?
That's a really good question. And I think most of us have hit a rut in one way or another, either that we have found ourselves doing the same thing because that's, you know,
what we do.
That's what we do. It's our routine. Yeah. It's easy. You know, maybe you know all the people there and, you know, it's like going to Cheers and everybody says Norm when you walk in the door. but, you know, I don't have children, so I haven't had that like, you know, before kid, after kid.
Madness.
Difference. Yeah.
Let's call it madness. Yeah.
Yes, madness. But you know, I think that maybe for me, I would call it a little bit more cyclical because I like training for, I love triathlon. And so I love training for that and really getting into it. But I only love that for a certain period of time. And then I need a break from it. And I need to not be so focused on it. So I think that the times that I get in a rut are when I've sort of finished being very into something and training toward a goal and either accomplished it or realized that now is not the time to continue training for that particular goal.
Right.
And then haven't quite figured out what my next real focus is. Because I do tend to do a little bit better with things if I've got sort of a main focus and then I've got my other things that I fit in around it. So I don't know that I've really had too much trouble breaking free of it because I do love to do so many different things. If I'm not, you know, if I'm not really getting into triathlon or running for whatever reason, I love dancing. I will Zumba the crap out of any song. I've got a hip hop class here that I love. I also love HIIT workouts. I love strength training. I can go to a gym and lift weights for 45 minutes and listen to good music and all by myself and not get bored. And right now I'm fairly obsessed with the not quite hot, the warm yoga studio that I'm going to. And I honestly grin like an idiot the entire drive there and the entire drive back because I'm so excited to go.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. But you know, you were talking about like finding the thing that you love and then embracing it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what I do. And I just sort of wait for the next thing that sounds like a really fun time. And then I do it. And then I pretty much am always running though, unless I'm injured and literally can't. And then swimming is also a big one for me, which I think might be my next big focus. I think I might be getting back into that a little bit more seriously. So watch out.
Cool.
Helps.
You know, you touched on this one thing that I wanted to bring up, which is, you know, that when you were training for a triathlon, you know, once you surpass that and you're like, okay, I did it. I'm done my training for it. You know, then you move on to other things. But I know that oftentimes what happens to a lot of people, and some of our listeners might be feeling like this too, is that when they're training specifically, they say that when you train specifically for like one big goal, like a triathlon or a marathon or something, once you reach that goal, oftentimes, I think it's the percentile was about 65% of people, then once they've reached that goal, just stop everything altogether. Because they kind of feel like they've like reached that goal and then they don't really know what to do. And then they just kind of, or they feel like, okay, I did that. Now I'm moving on kind of thing.
Right.
And so one of the ways that they say that you can kind of get away from falling into that kind of a rut of just like doing something big and then just stopping altogether is to set it up so that you have like smaller milestones rather than like one big goal. So it's kind of like, okay, like smaller things. So it's like, okay, today I'm going to like run for an extra 5 minutes or I'm going to run a bit faster. And then even after the marathon is done, you still have those little milestones that you're trying to like reach and create so that you're not just feeling like you've reached the end and it's like game over kind of thing.
That's a great tip. And, you know, the thing that I might add to that is, at least in my experience, and this is really kind of specific to like triathlon or training for running. But, if you're able to land in a training group or join with some running groups or things like that, that maybe not everybody is necessarily training for the same event or for the same goal that you are, but everybody is meeting up at a certain time in a set place every week for that purpose, it can make it a little bit easier to, you know, maybe hit your goal and reach that and then continue doing some of those activities that you worked so hard at, but without necessarily the intensity or the same, you know, focus on driving toward this big goal. Because it's really kind of neat. I've found, at least after finishing a big race where I've pushed past some limits that I didn't realize I'd set, going and doing some of those more social runs, I've got like this other gear that I didn't know that I had and that I can hit without necessarily pushing. And it doesn't always last forever, but it's a really neat feeling. And that sort of it helps to encourage me to just keep doing that at least a little bit. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be, you know, planning a tempo run and speed work and hills like every week.
Yeah.
But it means that I'm going to go out and I'm going to meet my friends and I'm going to run, you know, a 5K with them. And then probably we're going to grab a coffee or a beer after, depending on time of day. You know?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that having that kind of like, having the ability to switch gears is really important. If you can find a way to do that. Just
Absolutely.
Because then, because then you're not so stressed. You just get to like enjoy it as opposed to, and you go back to like the reason maybe why you started it, which was like because you found joy in it. And then, you know, rather than having it so regimented.
Yep.
Okay. Now I want to talk to you ladies about some food, because I think food, as we know, like nutrition plays a huge role in overall health, right? Like everyone knows, like you always hear like it's the 80-20 rule and like 80% comes from nutrition, 20% comes from your fitness side of it in terms of like your health and your overall fitness and weight loss, et cetera. So knowing that it does play such a big role, but also knowing that you have jam-packed schedules, I'm assuming. And based on just what I know of the two of you, how do you manage to stay on top of your nutrition? So Jen, I'll start with you and then, but I'll ask you both that question because I am curious how both of you, because you both live different lifestyles in the sense of like one with toddler, one without kids. I know that that creates differences in some ways.
Yep. And I'm also, I'm gluten-free. Like I have a gluten intolerance. So I have that to work around too, which is super fun. And then I also don't handle dairy well, as we were talking about before, where, you know, it's kind of like finding your healthy jam, like what works for you, what doesn't, through like just trial and that whole curiosity, kind of just learn that the hard way. Be like, oh, turns out I don't feel good when I eat those things. And feeling good is really important to me. So I feel super okay with actually not having them because I really want to feel good. But for me, you know, nutrition has really, like, it's something that I have tweaked over the years. And it is something that is now just such a habit that it's not that, I hate to say it's not that hard, but it's not that hard because I really, it's what I want to do. It's all the food I eat is exactly what I want to eat. And I know that I feel good and it tastes good. And every single week, you know, I know some people are like super into meal prep and they'll spend like their whole Saturday or Sunday. Like I see it on Instagram. I'm like, oh my God, that looks amazing. But that's just, I can't do that. That's not who I am. So I think it's fantastic that some people do it. It's not my jam. typically my husband and I will be like on Saturday or Sunday, whatever day we're going to the grocery store. We're like, all right, what do you want to eat this week? And actually having my daughter really helped me. I sat down when I was pregnant. I was like the last month of my pregnancy. I sat down and I was like, I don't know how I'm going to feed myself and my family. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So what are some, I made a list. Like, what are the meals that I eat, that we eat regularly, that are super fast and easy for me to make, and that I can basically, even when I'm sleep deprived or tired, I can go to the grocery store even without a list and get all of those. I know exactly what all the ingredients are. Like, I don't need to look at a recipe. They're just like in my brain. And a lot of them like are big portions, so you can do leftovers because we're a big leftover family. So, like stir fries, we almost always do like a fish tacos, varying different, like whether it's tuna or cod, or we'll even do them with like, I'm such a weirdo, sardines. I'm like the biggest. but they're sustainable and good in omega-3s. Like, they really don't, if you mash them up.
You don't have to defend them. You don't have
right. Like, I feel like everyone's going to be like, oh my God, that's disgusting.
I mean, I'm wrinkling my nose. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. She's like, what? I'm such a weirdo. So, those things, and just a number, and like we always have like a big ass salad night, whether it's taco salads or regular ones. And if it's taco salads, then I'm using the chicken for tacos probably later on. Like, just a number of like different go-to meals that I have in the repertoire. So it's like, what do you feel like having tonight? You know, and then, or this week, we plan it out for this week with one night. We plan for one night to go out or for one night to be pizza, because there's always a night. There's always a night that's like, either I'm not cooking or I'm not cleaning, or I don't want to eat that. Let's go out. So we plan for that, and then we shop for that. And then, I mean, we just cook every night, and it's pretty much everything I make that was like a 20 minute meal, and usually something that I can do that I can set, and then I can step away and come back. Big fan of the Instant Pot, slow cooker. All that stuff is really, really good too. And then always just having, you know, a variety of fresh stuff on hand, fresh fruits and vegetables that I can snack on. My daughter will snack on. And she makes us like keep things interesting, because that girl likes a lot of different food, but you know how it is. Like, one day it'll be like, I'll eat that. No, I won't eat that. Like, okay, oh well, yesterday red pepper strips are your favorite thing in the world, and you only wanted to eat those. And today you're like, yuck, I only want to eat cucumber. So,
It's interesting for sure. I have the same situation happening daily where you feel like you're like hit a big win with your toddler. Cause like, she'll be like, mine one day is like asparagus. Yes. And like eating it like crazy. And the next day I'm like, sweet. She likes asparagus. I love asparagus. Here we go. I'll eat it again tonight for dinner. And she just throws it on the ground. I'm like, nah.
Like, what happened between yesterday and today?
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. And I have found that some easy things, like I almost always, the one thing I will meal prep is a dozen hard boiled eggs. Mm-hmm. Because that's always just such like a good like in between, like I'm hungry, I want something, or I need some protein, and it's just a really quick and easy thing for me to always have. So I almost always have like that on hand. Maybe some baby tomatoes and like almonds, like nuts is just fuel.
Perfect. And what about you, Kristen?
So Jen and I eat completely differently. I mean, not completely. Like, we both do a lot of fresh, you know, fresh veggies and fruits and things like that. But like, I'm fine with gluten. I'm fine with dairy, and I don't eat meat. So
we eat seafood together, Kristen. That's what we do.
To until
that's true.
Last time Jen visited, there was a food poisoning incident. So I've been a little off seafood for a little while here, but I'm hoping to get back. I think it's going to be fine. Everything's cool.
It takes time. It's the mental thing, I think, that happens.
Oh, it's entirely in my head. I am aware. I am a case right now. but, you know, I would say that I really like focusing on the things that I can add that I'm excited about and that I want, versus focusing on the things that I feel like I, quote unquote, should cut out of my diet.
I love that.
I love cheese. I am very happy to sit down and eat a fairly good amount of it. But I find that, you know, if I'm going to have cheese, then it's also a really good idea for me to have some apple slices and some veggies and some hummus and maybe some almonds. And, I mean, I can eat the crap out of a snacky dinner, but it doesn't need to be all cheese. I can get that cheese and I can scratch that itch. And I won't feel like I'm, you know, cutting back on the amount that I really want if I'm also having a bunch of other tasty items that I'm very excited to eat. So the one thing that I will say that Jen and I are very similar in is that we really do eat the things that we want to eat.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes back to that whole like tuning into your body. What is it that you want? And sometimes asking yourself a little bit about why you want that. Because I also, I sound like such a Midwestern girl. I'm like, I really love dairy. No, I really love dairy.
I feel like you don't understand.
Yeah. So like ice cream, I very easily could eat that every night. And I try pretty hard not to, just because I know that's not a great choice for my overall health and well-being. But I do listen. Sometimes I'm like, no, I really, really, that is the one thing that I want. And so it's fine. I eat it. There's zero guilt. There's nothing wrong with that. But I also, you know, if I'm like, I really want ice cream and I realize that I'm on the verge of tears and that I'm feeling, you know, stressed out or hurt or lonely or whatever it is. And I'm like, okay, what is it besides ice cream that I actually need? Is it that I need to feed my stomach or do I need to feed my soul? You know,
right.
Sometimes you need a hug. Sometimes you need a nap. Sometimes you need to learn how to set boundaries and say, no, I can't take on another project, but thank you for thinking of me. So I think that there's, you know, there's that part of it.
That's a hard practice though, to become that mindful. That's such a huge, that's amazing that you're able to do that. But I find it's such a hard practice to do for a lot of people to get into.
Yeah. Well, and I think that there's something to be said about the approaching those cravings and approaching those hunger cues with curiosity versus judgment, like we were talking about earlier, where that's kind of an easier place, I think, to start, because then it's like, it's not just about me. It's like, okay, what is happening physiologically? What is happening, you know, psychologically? How can this make sense to me without it necessarily saying like, oh my gosh, I'm so weak. It's not about that. It's about what is it that you need and why do you need it? And if you're just like, I don't know, just give me. Okay, cool. Sometimes that's the day. Sometimes that's what you need.
No. Well, and sometimes in our, we do this thing called the 10 and 4 challenge, which is kind of like our weight loss with self-love program. And we'll have a lot of women who will, you know, have like, you know, they'll be feeling emotional. They'll be going through something and then they'll eat something. And then they'll immediately kind of be like, oh man, I'm so bad at myself that I did that. I knew that wasn't going to make me feel better. But I did it anyway. And then we always are like, okay, now instead of, you know, just beating down on yourself, like step away from that and then be like, all right, why did I do that? Like, so get to your why, like we've been talking about, and then be like, okay, what would have been a better way for me to handle that? And how can I set myself up to better handle that the next time it happens? Mm-hmm. And literally like write a list like of other stuff you can do to serve that need. It's just,
it's 2020.
It's totally. But then like, once you have an awareness, you're like, okay, how can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? Instead of like beating yourself up and getting to a place where you're honestly more likely to do it again, because it just becomes habitual, you know, as an emotional thing. And I know Kristen and I each have our own kind of emotional eating stories past like pre-FBG, that kind of led to FBG. Mm-hmm. That was all of the like kind of negative self-talk, poor body image, dieting, I mean, restriction, like all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. And I think, yeah, like, you know, having the moment when you actually have that like aha moment of like recognizing when you're seeing the attachment or when you're seeing the like emotional thing is such a huge breakthrough. And like, so for anyone listening, like if you can take the time to just like, when you are having those cravings and you are feeling emotional, to actually take a step back and realize why and really think about it and try to connect it to some sort of like, whether it's a past thing that's happened or some sort of like, this is just how you've always kind of fed that emotional response, and just connect to it. Even if you continue to do that habit, but knowing that you do, that you're doing it for that reason, I think gives you so much more power.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. And I found that the more space that I could find, this is pre-FBG, but the more space I can find between like actually having an emotion and then eating. Like if you can even lengthen that space from like, you know, 5 seconds to 10 seconds to 2 minutes to 3 minutes, like it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal, but it's huge when you're kind of breaking that, that, like you were saying, that, that process, that pattern, that habit, to just kind of like busting it. And then I also will say like, there's, I also think that there's a physiological component to this. It's not just psychological, where a lot of the times, you know, because when you reach for something that you're overeating, it's almost always going to be high sugar, high fat, like not super healthy food. You know, it's not like you're like, oh my God, I just binged on a, you know, a bag of carrots, like, you know, said no one ever.
Exactly.
You know, it's always the other kind of stuff that is, does have those addictive components. And I found that, and some of my stuff that I went through that led to a lot of the mission for Fit Bottom Girls, that dieting doesn't work, is that when you are heavily restricted and you are dieting and you are in kind of that deprivation mindset, you're hungry. And when you are like primally hungry, you are going to reach out for stuff and it's going to feel like a lack of self-control, but it's actually, I mean, it's actually like your survival instincts kicking in. So of course you're going to reach for the highest calorie things that you can, you know? So, and that just gets reinforced as well.
Yeah. So. And one other thing that I want to add, and then I promise we can totally move on to the next
one.
That's okay. That's okay. I love this conversation. Yeah. So it's totally cool.
Awesome. So the other thing is that, I think that a great step to take as well is to stop moralizing food, because you guys, eating a salad does not make you a saint. Eating a candy bar does not make you a bad person. Like I know plenty of wonderful people who are, you know, who love sugar. I know plenty of really terrible people who, you know, profess their love for kale on the daily. It doesn't actually say anything about who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't attach that. Don't, you know, like saying foods are good or bad, I find to be so problematic, because it just ties so much other stuff in that really just doesn't even belong on your plate or at your table.
Definitely. I 100% agree with that. And to add to that, I'd also like to say that if you are following some sort of a plan or something, and you, you know, you fall off and you do have one of those days where you're just like, I can't cook, I'm stressed out, I've got too much going on, and I am going to have pizza tonight for dinner, just eat it, and just eat it without guilt, and just eat it, because it's not going to, one day or one meal or the odd sort of, you know, fluctuation of like different foods in your diet is not going to ruin your progress. So just like stop that craziness in your brain, like stop it in its tracks. Don't let it get in your head that like, okay, now I've completely thrown everything out the window and I've totally lost progress, and start beating yourself up about it. You just got to like, just be okay with it. Like that's the decision you made, and just enjoy it rather than like eat it and then feel bad about it. Just like enjoy it, because pizza's delicious, and like be okay with
it. Yes,
that.
It is.
Exactly. Everyone should have a little bit of pizza now and again.
Exactly. Now, for both of you ladies, what do you say to anyone that's in your community who's feeling like they're really stuck? Because we all know that like there's people that just feel like, you know, I'm doing everything right, but I just feel like I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not getting the progress that I'm looking for or that I want. Like, how do you address that in your Fit Bottom Girls community?
Ooh, can I take this?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the things that we are so excited about is encouraging people to approach, you know, changes in nutrition or fitness with a beginner's mindset. Because we've talked to so many women who are like, oh, no, I know how to diet.
Yeah.
I know how to go to the gym. Well, okay, I'm sure that you do. But if you knew everything, then wouldn't you be exactly where you want to be? And you wouldn't be asking questions, and you wouldn't be frustrated, and you wouldn't be stuck. So I think it's really important to, you know, to just approach things with the beginner's mindset. If somebody is saying, you know, oh, well, you could stand to eat, you know, there are a lot of women who actually could stand to have more calories in their day.
100%.
Most of us could definitely stand to have more vegetables. You know, not everybody has a real issue with gluten or with dairy, but if you're looking for, you know, for changes to make, or if something feels off, like try changing some things up, try cutting dairy out for a few days and see if you you know, lose some bloating, because that has happened for a lot of women we've worked with. Not me. But yeah, I think that beginner's mindset is really key and important.
I think that's a really cool way of approaching it, because I do agree that so many people go into things thinking like, well, no, like I've been doing this for years. But if you've been doing it for years and you're still in the same place, then there's obviously a disconnect. There's something missing. So that's totally a great point.
And that's what we say a lot, is like, you can't expect to see a change unless you make a change. Mm-hmm. So you have to change something, and that can be, you know, like your nutrition, that could be going, like doing something more intense at the gym. It could be doing something less intense at the gym. It could be doing less cardio, actually, you know, it's funny how that kind of happens, or trying a different weight, or, you know, but you have to change something. And I think it's also important too for women, because we are bombarded consciously and subconsciously with so many different images of what attractive looks like, what fit looks like, what healthy looks like. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also important just to kind of check yourself a little bit and be like, am I trying to reach for maybe a body type that I don't have? Or do you know what it takes for most people to get six packs? You know what I mean?
Oh, like, gosh, I know.
It takes so much hard work. Like, you're probably not going to look like a fitness model or bikini model unless you live their lifestyle. And that lifestyle is really, really restricted and really, really fine tuned. Like, it's not for most everyday people.
There's no pizza.
Right. There's no pizza. There's no alcohol. There's no days off. Like, there's, you know, like everything is so micromanaged. And I think that a lot of times we get wrapped up in thinking we need to look a certain way. And when really it's like, well, maybe you should just kind of be appreciative for what you have, and then start focusing on maybe your, instead of what you look like or the number on the scale, focus more on improving how you feel and improving some other thing, like running a little bit faster, lifting a little bit heavier, even challenging yourself to try something new once a week. Mm-hmm. I think those types of things can be much more realistic and actually lead you to be much healthier and confident in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Just curious, because you just mentioned something about the scale. Do you believe in the scale? Do you think that, I mean, obviously we know it's like a real thing, but do you believe in like using it as a tool to help actually like, to use it as a tool to actually help gauge sort of where you're at?
I have a really, really strong, like no scale stance, I will say, just because it is loaded for so many different women. Like, if you're someone who can step on the scale and like it doesn't affect you, like emotionally, like that number, you're disconnected from it, then cool. Like, my husband could step on a scale 3 times a day and not be messed up. But you know what I mean? Like, he wouldn't care. He'd be like, oh, that's interesting. I just ate a hamburger. I just pooped. Like, how interesting. I love science, you know? But I think for most of us, you know, especially if you have been in this weight loss, weight gain kind of place, or you've dieted, you know, mm-hmm. you step on it and that number flashes. And it's just a stupid number. It's one small indicator of so many different things about your health, but mm-hmm. it's so loaded. It's so like, well, I'm going to have a good day. Nope. I'm going to have a bad day. I'm a good person. I'm a bad person. I have self-control. I don't have self-control. Like, it's just, it just leads to such a brain space that sets you up for the entire day. That's either like falsely good or falsely bad. And that's not where I want to put my power. I don't think that's where women should put their power. I think they should feel great every single day, and that can be one barometer. Not to mention that it does, you know, change based on so many different things, and it doesn't take into account like your body fat percentage versus your muscle and your water and all that kind of stuff. There are cooler scales out there now that do that kind of thing. So for me, it all depends on where your relationship with it is. And a lot of times the women that we coach and our readers will be like, hey, you know, if you're someone who is a daily wear and it's not good for you, you know that, then, you know, put it away for a week, put it away for 2 weeks, use it every, you know, maybe like once a month, maybe once a week, just to kind of get some overall trends. But maybe you want to decorate it, you know, with things that say like, you know, I love me and you're awesome and, you know, like stuff like that. Or this is just a number, you know. And then really start to not use it for your only barometer of progress and change, you know, you can take your measurements with, you know, inches, like a, can't think of the little measuring tape. Yeah. I don't know why that was blinking on that. I need pizza. Like put that around you, you know, see what those numbers are, see, you know, take into consideration your, you know, blood work that you do with a doctor, your blood pressure, you know, how quickly you can, you know, run and workouts. And there's so many more things,
Agreed. Definitely agree. All right, ladies. Well, I want to wrap up. I want to thank you both so much. But before we do, I'd love to hear from each of you if you have a final piece of advice for our listeners on how to help them live their best fit bottom life. So I'll start with you, Kristen.
Well, I guess I would say find the things that you love, surround yourself with the things and the people you love, and just embrace the hell out of it. You know, as we said, life is too short to do things you don't like. Life is too short to spend time with people who don't bring you joy. So, you know, live the life that you want to live and then see how wellness and, you know, self-care and self-love helps you to, you know, to really make that your very, very best fit bottomed life.
And mine piggybacks so well off of that because it is just the notion that you were not put here to be unhealthy and to be worried about your weight all the time. That's not why you're here. So like Kristen said, you know, live the life you want to live and realize that your purpose is larger than that. And really the means to being healthy in a really sustainable way and a really realistic and fun way will allow you to go off and do the badass things that you're meant to do.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, ladies, so much for your time today. Now, for our listeners, do you want to just share with me, with them, how they can learn more about Fit Bottom Girls, where they can find you?
Yeah, we're at fitbottomgirls.com. And then we're Fit Bottom Girl on, or Fit Bottom Girls on pretty much all of the social handles, the Instagram, the Facebook, the Pinterest, the Twitter. And then we have the Fit Bottom Girls podcast, which you can find in all the places you get podcasts. And am I leaving anything out, Kristen?
I don't think so. I think that's pretty much all the things.
Okay, all cool. The things.
I think that it's probably worth noting that we do occasionally do cool in-person like retreats and workshops and things like that. So if, you know, if this kind of jammed with things that you like, check the website, see what's coming up, because we would love to meet all of you.
Perfect. Awesome. And of course, for all of our listeners, thanks so much for listening. And if you're interested in learning more about FitChicks Academy, check us out at fitchicksacademy.com, where we have our upcoming certifications, as well as on social media at FitChicks Academy. All right, ladies, thank you again so much. Honestly, it was truly so fun chatting with you. I loved hearing all of your insight, and I really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Honored to be here.
All right. Have a great day. Thank you all for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out.